You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Can anyone explain why the modern day whales are so big?
The Wire.
Next up, we've got a piece from James. Many industries have been placed under pressure, with the pork industry being a focus. Over the past few weeks, questions have been raised by animal rights groups about the welfare of pigs as the industry deals with a surplus and inability to process and sell fast enough. To understand the situation, James talks to New Zealand-based PETA spokesperson, Laura Wayman-Jones, David Baines, Chief Executive of NZ Pork, SAFE NZ's campaign manager, Marianne McDonald, as well as their CEO, Deborah Ashton.
With COVID-19 putting pressure on so many industries, there's been a lot to follow when it comes to problems, as well as what changes are currently being made across the country. And usually when there's a problem, it's called beef. But this time it's pork, specifically the lack of ability to process and store meat within the pork industry. A number of weeks ago, it was released that there was a surplus of up to 5,000 pigs per week in New Zealand, resulting in some butcheries opening so that more could be processed during level 4. To understand what the pork industry has been doing to combat the immediate change, I talked to Chief Executive of New Zealand Pork, David Baines, and I started by asking what the current situation looks like.
We've got significant challenges in front of us that following the COVID restrictions, we had about 50% of our normal market close on us. So that essentially was the food service sector, as well as independent butchers and Asian retailers. Now, because the domestic pork market is a closed market and that we don't export anything, that left us with a very real challenge that we have 50% of our production, which is coming to us on a weekly basis, potentially no home. So worst case scenario that could create a welfare issue on farm, where it could result in significant overcrowding, which is obviously something that we're desperate to avoid, and that could lead to euthanizing on farm, which is obviously a situation we desperately want to prevent.
As a result of this stress, New Zealand Pork put out a call to New Zealand consumers to purchase more pork in an aid to avoid a welfare problem, which was not well received by animal welfare groups, as it only addressed the supply and demand and the profits that come with it, not the conditions the pigs would be exposed to. To understand their point of view, I went to Safe New Zealand, one of the country's leading animal rights charities, and I talked to their campaign manager, Marianne McDonald, about what other options they think the pork industry should be looking at.
Well, at the moment, I mean, the farmers are giving New Zealanders sort of two options, you know, killing those pigs on farms now or waiting for them to be sent to the slaughterhouse and then killed. But I think it's really important for everybody to remember that, you know, pigs are as intelligent and as emotionally complex as dogs. And, you know, you can imagine people who have dogs in their families wondering, you know, about a third option. Farmers are thinking just about their financial interests, so they're not really open to this third option. But, you know, Kiwis who care about animals should remember there's another way.
To gain another perspective, I also talked to Laura Wayman-Jones from People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, also known as PETA, about what solutions they think the pork industry should be looking at.
But what we're asking pork producers to do is to deal with the problem that they've created, come up with a plan to create some more space for these clever, loyal, playful baby pigs. And they are just babies. They're normally less than 6 months old. Stop passing the buck to consumers. Stop breeding animals. And start looking for ways to transition out of the industry into a more sustainable means of food production.
While both made valid points surrounding pigs and their nature, the answers given, such as creating more space, have been seen as unviable by the pork industry. And the long-term solutions being given, such as moving away from the industry, are not a simple task in the current situation. To hear about what moves the pork industry has been making, as well as what solutions they have in mind, I questioned David on the topic.
Well, we're obviously very keen to see independent butchers and Asian retailers in particular be classified as essential services. We believe that they were necessary both from a public service point of view and also from a industry sector to be able to operate. So we've been lobbying the government from day one for their reclassification, sadly unsuccessfully. So looking at other alternatives and where could we place this product? Typically with a closed system, you have to have some solutions. So the normal one under normal operating scenarios is that wholesalers with surplus supply would further process that product into cartons and then freeze it and then utilise it at a later date. Problem with that is that freezer storage capacity can be limited, in fact is limited, and also it requires cash flow from the wholesaler to purchase the product, process it and then keep it in store. So those are two normal constraints that we have under that scenario, but utilise that as much as we could. Obviously that couldn't accommodate the full 50%, so we looked initially at using some of our domestic production to replace what is normally imported by manufacturers, and they typically, New Zealand consumption of pork is made up of 60% imports and only 40% domestic production. So that 60% provided an obvious opportunity if we could place some of our domestic surplus into that imported volume, that could alleviate the problem. So a couple of the larger processors voluntarily agreed to work with us and undertook to keep a hold of some of the imported frozen product and use our domestic fresh instead. So that import substitution model has been working, but it's come at a really real cost because we have to match the specifications of the imported product, which is fair enough, but we're also having to match the price. Now, the imported product comes in at a significantly lower price level than our cost of production. So by engaging on the import substitution, wholesalers were incurring $1.50 per kilo loss from their cost to supply that market. So that's got to the point where it's not sustainable as an ongoing option. So we've been looking at other opportunities as well, which include export. So we've been working very hard with MPI and NZTE to look to develop some export markets. And whilst that's promising, it's not going to provide an immediate solution. Another solution which does look very attractive and we've been working equally as hard on is supply of some of our products to food banks. Now, working with government, we understand that food banks are in desperate need of additional food supply. We think it's a really good match if we can use some of our surplus to help meet that need and also alleviate some of the pressures we have on our supply chain. So working really hard with MPI on that, and I'm hopeful that that will provide us some relief as early as next week. But yeah, it's at a point where we're finally balanced between being able to manage the supply coming through and placing it into homes and making sure we keep those pigs moving through the supply chain.
So far, this situation places many in a tough position, with farmers having to deal with a surplus while maintaining animal welfare, with mass culling not being an option as it will put them in a bad financial position. New Zealand Pork is having to change their supply chain, and the welfare groups are worried about the animals. While these welfare groups are critical of industries putting profit before ethics, it is important to look critically at these groups as well. With PETA taking part in unethical practices, such as mass euthanasia of animals in one of their shelters. So where does the welfare of these pigs stand? To give a baseline of where the pork industry places themselves, let's hear from David.
Yeah, we represent the pig farmers, and as such we're very committed to making sure that all of our commercial farmers understand and comply with the standards there. So we've actually put in place for a number of years now a system called PigCare, which ensures that each farm is audited on an annual basis and that they are fully compliant with all of the welfare requirements. And the system has also been expanded to include other aspects of good farm practice and also aspects of environmental and farm appearance aspects. So yeah, we believe that this PigCare tool is a very robust one, and one which has been able to help us identify farms that need support, and it does identify corrective actions for farms that go through audits, and those actions are managed, and we maintain the standard and the commitment to make sure that New Zealand product is as high as the public expects. I guess just to point out that the standards of welfare that we have in New Zealand are the highest in the world. And that's one of the challenges that New Zealand pig farmers have, is that whilst they've confronted with imported pork coming out at a cheaper price, that cheaper pork isn't produced to the same welfare standards that we require our New Zealand farmers to comply with. So it's not really a level playing field. We're not suggesting that we reduce our standards, but we don't believe the consumers or the public are aware that the cheaper pork that they're buying is coming from countries whose production standards, if they were in New Zealand, would be illegal.
Now, when it comes to the welfare of pigs in New Zealand, we do hold some of the highest standards in the world, as explained by David. However, for both Peter and Safe, questions continue to be raised around the farrowing of sows, with Safe starting court proceedings just before we went into lockdown, challenging the 1999 Animal Welfare Act. To understand why Safe New Zealand is taking this to court, I talked to their CEO, Deborah Ashton, about what farrowing crates are and why they believe this is a violation of the 1999 Animal Welfare Act.
If you look at what a crate actually is, essentially it's a metal cage that is placed inside a pen, and the mother pig is put in there a few days before she's due to give birth. She's in there for about 4 or 5 weeks while she's mothering her piglets, and then sometimes she might be left in there for another week, actually. But these crates mean that the mother pig can only stand up or lie down. So this is the reason why we're saying this is a violation of the Act. The mother pigs are unable to carry out their normal patterns of behaviour as they would want to do if they were raising their piglets naturally.
I then asked how this fits into our welfare laws and where this stands on a global scale.
Well, in a recent World Animal Protection survey, we were rated as C, which is really only about halfway compared to other countries around the world. What that said to us was we've certainly got a long way to go before we can be a country that's well and truly proud of our animal welfare laws.
Deborah then went on to explain, while we have strong animal welfare laws, they are not being enforced, as well as the use of farrowing cages being a choice, with half of pig farms in New Zealand not even using them at all. Finally, to look at the broader picture of food production, let's recap what Peter wants to see as the end game.
So what we need to be doing is encouraging farmers to move away from these exploitative, completely ecologically unsustainable industries and into more plant-based agriculture.
And here is New Zealand Pork's response.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something that we've explored to any degree because we believe that the product we're producing is very nutritious, it's welfare friendly, it's meeting needs that the consumers have. So we believe we're doing that in a very humane, welfare friendly way, and it's also providing a nutritious, balanced component of a diet for New Zealanders.
In response to this, I will leave you on a clip from an interview I did in March with Julian Hayes, the head of School of Food and Advanced Technology at Massey University, where he talks about the future of plant-based protein. And if you want to hear the whole interview, it'll be up on 95BFM Becasts.
If you're just thinking in economic terms, which is only one argument, but if you're thinking in economic terms, New Zealand has no comparative advantage in the production of plant-based protein. But I do think that we could be making sort of high-value money as a country out of taking smart technologies that allow you to put, for example, animal flavours into plant products. So we won't be the cheap producer of the plant protein, but we could own a specialist technique or process which allows you to get new textures or tastes or whatever it is from products with a higher amount of plant protein in them. So that's kind of a high-tech solution for how New Zealand can keep on earning good money out of a system which is perhaps of less interest to the world's very environmentally minded consumers.
Thank you so much for that report on pork and pigs, James. James has been working on this for the past few weeks, so it's really great to hear all the different voices come together and have a think about pork and pigs.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.